This is All of It on WNYC. I'm Kushan Avidar in for Allison Stewart. Just a reminder that this month's Get Lit with All of It book club is meeting this Thursday night at 6 p.m. We will be in conversation with author Xochiel Gonzalez about her new novel, Anita DeMonte Laughs Last. Plus, enjoy a special musical performance by Caridad de la Luz, executive director of the New Yorkian Poets Cafe. Tickets for the in-person event are sold out, but you can join us via live stream. For more information, head to wnyc.org/getlit. And if you haven't finished the novel, there's still time. Thanks to our partners at the New York Public Library, New Yorkers can check out a free e-copy. Again, all the details are on wnyc.org/getlit. That's on Thursday, but let's get this hour started with Anatomy of a Movie Poster. Dawn Bailey designs movie posters. Maybe you've seen her work. Dirty Dancing, Little Miss Sunshine, The Truman Show, Silence of the Lambs, one of my favorites, SpongeBob SquarePants. A new show explores the anatomy of a film poster, specifically through Dawn's work over four decades. The exhibition reflects on her experience of going into film advertising as an assistant art director in the 1980s, when the industry was dominated by men and posters were mostly made by hand. The Anatomy of a Movie Poster, the work of Dawn Bailey, is on display at Poster House through September 8th. Dawn Bailey joins us now to discuss. Dawn, welcome to All of It.
Thank you.
And also joining us is Angelina Lippert, the chief curator and director of content of Poster House. Angelina, thanks so much. Welcome to All of It.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So lots of great movies. Some of my favorites were in this exhibit. Very excited to talk about it. Dawn, let's go to the beginning. You entered the industry as an assistant art director for Tony Sieger, the creator of the Jaws poster, film advertising company in the 1980s. What's the job of an assistant art director, and how did you find your way into this side of the industry?
Actually, I started as a junior designer. I wasn't really sure what he hired me to do. He saw my portfolio straight out of art school, and asked me how much I needed to live on. And I said $100 a week. And he said, kid, I'm going to make you a star. And he didn't actually tell me what I was going to be doing or how much I was going to be making. And I showed up. And one of his creative directors, Tom Martin, he was, you know, kidding me, but he said, you should be paying us to work here. But the first thing I did there was working on review ads for awards campaigns for Peggy Sue Got Married, and I was doing what we call paste up, and that was breaking type paragraphs using X-Acto blades and moving words around. And then as I got better known for my willingness to learn and ability to do things, I would start contributing ideas. And that was under Tom Martin and Tony Sieger as the creative director. And it was like preliminary design things. And then the first opportunity I had to design a movie poster is when Tony asked if I wanted to work on Dirty Dancing.
And that was your first?
That was the first movie poster that I did as my own design, my own approach. Otherwise, I was working under Tom as an assistant, where he would give me a list of ideas. He would give me thumbnails to build of posters that he was working on. For example, he was working on Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, and he would thumbnail up what he wanted me to do. And then I would put all the pieces together for him. He would approve it, give me notes, or whatever the things were.
Do you remember what it was when you first started working in these movie posters that made you think, this is a medium that I love?
Well, I knew I wanted to do movie posters since I was a kid. I grew up in Hollywood, and I used to walk Hollywood Boulevard with my grandma, just as what we would do. And Hollywood Boulevard was my art museum. And I would see framed movie posters and just think, oh, I want to do that. That's what I wanted to do. I didn't really spend time at museums, but I spent time in front of movie theaters just studying the posters.
And did you watch a lot of movies as well? Were you really into that?
Well, it wasn't like now. There wasn't VCRs or things back in the day, but I did. I mean, I remember talking my grandma into taking me to see The Omen when I was probably a bit too young.
And wow.
And I really regretted that. But I loved that campaign. And it was one of the reasons that it was all coming together for me. I remember seeing planes going by in Hollywood doing the 666 in the sky and then putting that together with the film poster and the marketing and saying, oh, my, I see that this has become an event, and which is why I wanted to see it, because it was eventized. Like, you had to see this film. Didn't matter if it was scary, I was going to muscle through it and see this film. And I wanted to be part of that.
Wow. Yeah. What an omen for the future of your career. Sorry to put the pun, but it was just out there for the plucking.
Love it.
Angelina, now that you're hearing Dawn talk about the start, walk us through this exhibit. What can viewers expect, and what was it about Dawn's work that made you think, oh, I want to put this up as an exhibit?
Sure. So we had somebody working in our shop at Poster House, and she said, oh my God, you're not going to believe who walked into the museum today. And I said, who? She said, Dawn Bailey. And I said, who's Dawn Bailey? Because Dawn isn't a household name to someone like me. And I then looked more into her work and realized that this person has had her hand on so many of the most iconic movie posters of the last 30, 40 years. Why has there not been an exhibition about her work? So I got to talking to Dawn. We did a public program online about the 50 best movie posters of all time with the Clio Awards. And from there, the exhibition evolved. And you can kind of walk through the exhibition three different ways. One way, you can look at the trajectory of Dawn's career. So starting as a junior designer, going up all the way to a creative director over the course of three different agencies. And it's a great like didactic of how someone's career can evolve in that time. Another way you can go through it is as just a fan of great movie posters, and you start with Dirty Dancing, you hit all these major moments in movie poster history, and then we end with the tragedy of Macbeth that came out during COVID. And then the third way you can do it, which is one of my favorite ways, we're an educational institution first and foremost. So we've created this book called A Little Book of Movie Poster Terms. And it's got like two parts to it. One of it goes through every type of role associated with the building of a movie poster with and it explains what that person does. Like, what does a designer do versus a creative director? And then the other half of it is terms that are highlighted throughout the text. So, and it expands on that. So like, what are comps? What is a billing block? And you can essentially get an education on all of the aspects of a movie poster and how it is built, and view the show like that, and how those approaches to those things have changed from the 80s, when much of it was done manually, to when Photoshop happened, to today, when it's incredibly digital. So you learn about how the movie industry and how the movie poster industry has evolved in that period.
As you think about Dawn's career, I mean, you've been steeped in it for a while now, looking through everything. Is there something that really sparkles about the different posters over time that you really love about her work?
Oh, gosh. I mean, every poster has an amazing story behind it. Obviously, the Silence of the Lambs poster is the one that everyone knows. It was voted the most impactful poster of the most important poster of the last 35 years, which I would absolutely agree with. I actually like the story behind there were these little stories, like when Photoshop didn't have layers, which is essentially the way that you can like pull out different parts of a photographic element. That's not something you think of, that there was a time when if you put something in a composition, it was stuck there and you couldn't remove it. So learning about the things that the restrictions with which Dawn was working on all of these items is actually the thing that I found most compelling, because within restrictions comes creativity, and seeing her press that and work with it and shift with it is really magical.
Let's talk about that process a little bit. Dawn, I'm bursting with questions right now about how you even go about doing this. Like, do you watch the movie first? Is it different on a case-by-case basis? Talk to me about a little bit about how you approach making a movie poster.
As you said, it's a case-by-case situation. Depending on the film, sometimes I'm reading a script. Sometimes I'm seeing a sizzle reel. Sometimes I just have a summary. And in the case of, like, Dirty Dancing, I had nothing. I had a stack of photos that were unit photography. And for me, I studied illustration and painting at Otis Parsons. So I come from an illustration tradition on approaching a project. And what a great title, Dirty Dancing. So I had a stack of photos, and I had to figure out how to illustrate a title in a way that created some interest to the story, rather than just illustrating it trying to find the dirtiest photo or the dancingest photo. I was actually looking for a quiet moment to juxtapose a large title with. Mm-hmm. And going through all those things that Angelina highlighted, Dirty Dancing was a manual job. I had a stack of photos that I had were black and white. I would cut them out with an X-Acto blade. I would come up with my composition, and then it would progress from there. The next step from a comp is what we call them. From those looks, then we would order photography at the right size, cut it out again, airbrush it, Chromatex, all the things. But then when Photoshop came in, we were actually using something called Color Studio before Photoshop, and that was before Layers. But the poster that Angelina's talking about was Sleepless in Seattle, which was made before Layers. Mm-hmm. And as you're building something like that, when a client calls to make changes and they want to see a different figure, you're often cloning out the background behind the head, and then you have to glue a new one down. So it was a lot of work back and forth until you get to the finishing, which back then was still more traditional finishing. You still had to put it together in a manual way. But then as Layers came in, you were able to do much more complicated things. And that's what we tried to show, was like, when by the time we got to the Truman Show, you could have, you know, when Photoshop introduced layers, you could have a few layers, then you could have a few more. But then by the time Truman Show came around, you could have 100. Mm. And if you look at the Truman Show poster, it's very, very complicated. There's a crowd at the bottom made from stock photography, but there was hundreds of layers in there. And at that point, I was working as creative director, and Stephen Stewart was my designer on that, helping to assemble hundreds of photos into Photoshop to try to create the scene that would kind of give you an idea of what was happening in the movie, which was actually bigger than what the script is amazing. And it's a really beautiful film. But what I was trying to convey there was millions of people watching this character Truman sleep, you know, and I thought that was the way to really convey this beautiful story.
Yeah. Another poster that I think so many of us have seen, Angelina, you mentioned it, is the Silence of the Lambs poster. It was a big hit for a horror film in 1991. The show includes four posters, which all feature the Death's Head hawk moth. What are some details people might have missed in the poster if they didn't look at it too closely? Any Easter eggs in there, or little details that you're particularly fond of?
The things that I'm fond of are like designer-y things. Like on the billing block, I put little slashes between each name. Mm. I was really excited by the font. It was Opti Binder style. Like, these are the kinds of things that I get excited by.
It's very layered.
It's very layered. It was also a technical thing. I made the poster, the comps, using a mezzotint, which becomes the first poster that we tried to do a digital finish. And that was done on Quantel paint box. And that was the first time finishing something, not photographically, but but with a computer.
Yeah.
But in terms of the storytelling, the Death's Head Moth was there, but that came from Jonathan Demme. And I incorporated it. We rented a moth and photographed that and superimposed that into...
Rented a moth? Like you rented a live moth?
We rented a taxidermy moth.
A taxidermy moth. Did somebody send you a list of pictures of moths and you said this is the taxidermy moth?
You could go to the Natural History Museum in Los Angeles at that point in time and you could rent one.
What was it about that moth that made you pick it?
It's the one that's in the film. It's, I mean, that's part of the story.
I see. This is the moth you will use. Got it.
But we rented one knowing that that is a character in the movie.
We rented a taxidermy moth is something that has probably never been said on WNYC Airwaves. So moment of happiness right there. In the show, these posters are placed up against a wall featuring Jodie Foster's character, Clarice's eyes. Angelina, why did you decide to zoom in on her eyes?
So that actually, when we're building a show, I work very closely with our director of design and exhibits. That's Ola Baldick. Ola is a really brilliant designer in general, but her exhibition design is amazing. And what she does is she reads my exhibition text and then she pulls out things that I would never have even thought to pull out to highlight in the show. She makes every story I tell better. And that was her design choice. She noticed that all of the eyes, if you stacked all the posters on top of one another, the eyes all line up no matter whose face is in the shot. And if you zoom in on any of these, they are photo offset printed. So you would get a dot pattern. Like a dot matrix that would become apparent if you zoomed in and in and in. So it's kind of an homage to that. It's a very pixelated, for lack of a better word, zoom in on Jodie Foster's eyes that you might not see right away. But if you get to the right distance, it's like an impressionist painting. Mm-hmm. So that was entirely Ola's decision. And I love these Easter eggs that she tends to hide in all of our exhibitions. They're these moments of just like, oh, wow. Oh, that was really just so clever to tie that into there. At the opening wall of the exhibition, our own key art, we have the standard parental guidance, like PG-13 notice on the wall, as most movies would have. And originally it was just a regular PG-13 notice, but then Dawn's team came back with one that said PG-13, blood, sweat, and tears. Mostly tears, and so we incorporated that on the opening wall. So there are these moments that I think really highlight both. They're in dialogue with the design of the posters as well as the design of the show.
So thinking about all of these posters, I'd love to hear from both of you. Maybe Angelina, we can start with you. What do you hope viewers walk away with from going to visit this exhibit?
Oh, I hope they walk away with many things, but I want people to understand, as I came to learn, because this show is built primarily through interviews with Dawn, not through, I'm usually doing shows with like tons of books and historic research in the library, having a greater understanding of both the evolution of how movie posters are made and how they are made today. That this is not a show that ends with necessarily the tragedy of Macbeth. I mean, Dawn is at the peak of her career. Mm. This is the highlights reel of the first half. Who knows what she will do next? So knowing that this is a story to be continued, I want people to have a greater appreciation of this art form. Great posters continue to be made today.
Wonderful. And Dawn, how about you? What do you hope people take away from this?
I hope that people, when I wanted to do this, I didn't know how to do it or how to get into it. It seemed like a big mystery. I hope that people understand that there's a team that is working to convey the love of film into these kinds of images for people to celebrate film, and to really love it as an art form, as a complimentary experience to enjoy the poster when you go to a film.
We've been talking to Dawn Bailey, who's a film poster designer, and Angelina Lippert, who's the Poster House chief curator and director of content. The exhibit is called The Anatomy of a Movie Poster, the work of Dawn Bailey. It's on display from March 14th to September 8th of this year. Encourage everyone to go check it out. And listeners, if you want to check out some of the previews of those posters we've been talking about, just go to our webpage on our segment page. You can see some of them. Dawn, Angelina, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.